Welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast.
So we want to welcome Ryan Bailey from So Good, So Bad, It's Good with Ryan Bailey. God.
This is why we edit.
Wow, you really are drinking. That's amazing.
It's even worse when we're sober. Imagine that. Yeah. Ryan Bailey, how long have you had your podcast, just so we get our listeners familiar with you?
I think it's about like November of this past year. I podcasted before. I had a Kardashian podcast before that, but this is like the first time I've done it solo, and it's only been since November. I mean, who knows? I don't know how long. I don't know time anymore, so I don't know how long that's. I mean, is that 3 years or 4 years? I don't know. It feels like this has been a year the last month. So,
right.
Yeah, since November, yeah.
That's the Ryan Bailey, Kardashian Jenner. That's where that comes from.
Yeah, well, I just also think that's Kardashian Jenner is just a ridiculous surname. And that's what, but you know, it's weird. That's my Twitter handle. And a lot of people, God, it's just so funny how you think people will understand that's a joke. And I still get the, well, you're related to them. Of course you're going to say that, you know? I always thought, like, I've been interested in pop culture since I was, like, a little kid, and I think at some point I thought it was going to wear off, and now I realize if I live into my 80s, like, I know I'm going to be on my deathbed going, like, how dare Denise Richards do this, and that, like, I'm going to be thinking about this up until, which is, in a way, really sad on my part. Like, I got sad thinking that I will never stop liking this stuff.
No, see, I think we're a particular type of people, because I am, like, literally the very first reality show. I don't even know. Some people say the Osbournes. I don't know. But I was day one, anything reality TV, I was just tuned into. I forget Real World, all of those. It was just like,
oh my God,
what am I watching? Give me more.
But that's before even, and all those things, I didn't even know until 3 years ago that there were massive amounts of people like me that would talk about these things. I didn't know about Facebook groups. I didn't know about, there were so many things I didn't know. So I always thought it was my shameful little secret that I was watching A Simple Life, you know, every season of it, and looking forward to that. You know, all my dude friends would watch sports and all that stuff, but I wanted anything. Like, the only way I know sports is if, like, it can relate to reality. Like I know
like
Jessica Simpson. You know, like, Jessica Simpson dated Tony Romo at one point, who was a quarterback. Yes. Like, I know it in regards to that kind of way, you know?
You're our people, Ryan. Yeah. You're our people.
We, you know, I think we used to be, a lot of us used to be ashamed. Like, we had a scarlet letter for liking these shows. Yeah. And I think because of podcasts and Facebook and Instagram, it becomes much more of a, okay, we're going to be all right. We have each other. And anybody that doesn't understand, I think there's power in numbers, and it's fine if I, but it is funny. Do you get this kind of thing too, of like, you get it where you're like, wait, not everybody knows about 90 Day Fiance. Wait, not everybody knows that Colt sent his dick pics to everybody. Like, not everybody knows that. I mean, I talk to my parents every week on the podcast. I've learned more about them.
I love that. I've listened to a few of those. I love those.
But I've learned more about them through this podcast than I have in my everyday life, which is crazy. I mean, I got to ask them all about their lead up to their wedding, about my dad going to Vietnam. I got to have my mom tell me what WAP means by Cardi B. I mean, there's so many things that you can use a microphone to make you braver than you are in your everyday life, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, and right. Honestly, there's a stigma that goes along with people that watch reality TV shows and totally did it on the down low in our professional careers, because, of course, we don't want anyone to know that
we
do this shit show. But, yeah, I mean, there's a stigma that goes along with it that maybe you're less than intelligent.
Yes.
Which totally
isn't
true.
I find the most intelligent people watch these shows.
I want to ask you if you watch a few of these. I don't know if you watch. Do you watch Big Brother, Love Island?
I watched Big Brother the early, like, I'm talking Big Brother when it first came out, like the first couple seasons right after Survivor had first aired. I remember I watched, and then it became, Big Brother was one of those things, like, I really had to choose what I was going to do with my life and if I was going to add that into it, because also I'm one of those OCD people that if I watch something, I want to watch all of it, and they'll do a 24-hour feed, I understand, and I'm like, I can't. Because it would be out there and I would know about it, and I just couldn't then sleep. You know, like, I just couldn't do it.
You would have to know.
Yeah, but I'm also, I'm pretty quick on the uptake in terms of, I can read Twitter and stuff, and I know people aren't happy with this season's All-Star cast, and, like, I get certain things that are happening, but I don't watch it, yeah.
Okay, what about Love Island? Did you ever watch the
Love
other
Island,
UK,
no, I have
Australian?
Not, but that is the next one, like, Potomac – realized was a Potomac that everybody tells me to start. I haven't, and I know it's probably the next one I will start and be like, oh my God, why didn't I start this earlier?
I don't know.
It's pure trash.
Maybe. It's very trashy, but it's, I tell Gina that I watch it in bed. We don't dive deep into it, but I have a smile on my face the entire time, and it's embarrassing.
I like that you said children. You watch it in bed. Like, what do you mean? Do you watch it in bed, like, romantically? What do you...
sometimes.
It's like after dark.
Violent after dark.
Okay, what about Gina just put up something about this thing called Love Fraud on Showtime?
Yeah, Love Fraud on Showtime. It's like a Dirty John documentary about these women who are online dating. It's pretty good.
Oh my God. I saw a billboard about that, and like I'm all for that. I will totally watch that. I just watched Love on the Spectrum on Netflix.
Oh, that was so good.
I wouldn't watch that in bed. That was a very on the couch
no,
watch.
I agree.
That wasn't romantic. That to me is where reality shows kind of like go above and beyond, where it shows a slice of life that really, it really was like, not, I'm not saying like motivational, but it was a really beautiful experience. And it was touching, heartbreaking at times, funny. I mean, it just hit everything for me. The opposite of trash, you know?
Right. Well, and when I started watching that, I was giggling a little bit, like, oh, look at this guy, Michael. This guy is funny. And then they start introducing each character, and I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. This is every single person you meet, you find something endearing about.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was fantastic.
Loved it.
And Michael's whole journey in life is to want to be the best partner he can eventually be for a person. Like, that's like his one success in life will be when he is able to be a husband or a boyfriend. And I'm just like, you know, to have that kind of, I mean, that just, that was inspiring.
It was totally.
And when he was on the date with that girl and it wasn't going well, I literally almost like tore the TV out of the wall, and I couldn't handle it, you know?
I know, I was hoping it was one of those where they would switch her out with somebody else who really wanted to be there.
But that really, it's such a great slice of life in the sense that, like, they're going through the same thing, you know, they're on the spectrum, and we are not, yet we still have some of the same experiences when it comes to love. We've all been on dates that have gone horribly that you want to go so well. We have all, like, I mean, that to me was, like, the real, like, you can't laugh at these people because they're going through what we want to go through, just that in a sense they might be just like 10%, I mean, God, 30% more pure than we are.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Very true. So honest. Speaking of which, you're single.
Yeah.
Do you date during this time of corona? Do you date? Do you do any online stuff?
What do you like, dance online? Or what do you
stuff, whatever that means.
No, you know, I mean, I got divorced a couple of years ago. This has all been, you know, talk about arrested development. This has all been new to me. I don't even know how to say it. I don't do any kind of online dating. I don't do any apps or anything like that. I have dated here and there. I have a lot of, I have a lot of close friends. That part is really to be determined in a lot of ways. And I don't, I get really even nervous even talking about it because I can, I can be one way when I talk on the podcast and stuff like that. But in my normal life, I think I still battle it. You know, I'm still not bummed out, but like, you know, I didn't expect to ever get divorced. I didn't expect anything that I'm doing now was not in the cards, you know?
Right.
So and especially it's hard to, sometimes I'll consider myself just one of the girls because that's who I mainly deal with in terms of my audience or DMs or anything like that. And I'll always be like, ha ha. And I'm not really great at reading signals. I don't know when somebody likes me or not. So it's sometimes a weird, this is weird. And it's like, this has been weird. And I grew up what I consider like a geek and stuff like that. So it's very interesting. God, I sound like a scientist now. You know, it's just very interesting when I do find out somebody likes me or I don't, like, literally somebody will have to go to my face and go, I like you, to like, because I wouldn't know it sometimes otherwise.
I think that's kind
of, that's a man thing.
That's a typical man.
Yeah, that's a man thing.
Oh my God. I will say this, like, to all the ladies listening out there, I get it now. Like, I get it. I talk to so many, I have mainly female friends anyways, but I really get it now dealing with like so many ladies on these shows, ladies that I talk to, is that, but also being a guy, is that we just, don't think as deeply as you guys. We don't remember things. We don't, like, we have to be told what to do. The fact that we, like, supposedly at some point wrestled away, like, you know, like, it's a man's world. Like, you know, that's insane, because I was talking about this with my buddy who his wife just had their second baby last week, and we're just like, how did guys ever, how were we number one at any point? Like, just even pain threshold alone, like, you guys win. If I feel like a slight breeze that gives me a sniffle, I feel like I'm dying. Like, and every woman seems to be more emotionally mature. They can withstand things more. They can get things done. And I'll sit there and stare at a wall for hours if I get depressed, you know? Like, I'll just be incapacitated.
Well, let's just say it's not all. We do have, like, the Darcy and Stacey's out there that, you know.
That's true.
I think they're in a world of their own. Their emotions run very high.
But they have
high.
Their own show, so they're even more. I mean, they're, like, they're killing it. Well, here's the deal. The fact that anybody can even consider being with Colt from 90 Day Fiancé is shocking to me. I got to say, if Colt is getting as many ladies, then I'm flipping Tom Cruise. Or not even Tom Cruise, because he's weird. Like, I'm flipping whoever is. Oh, did you just spill wine everywhere?
No, almost though.
No, but I'm saying if he's getting so many ladies, then, like, I feel like I'm whoever the, like, hot guy is out there. I literally don't know, but I'm saying I should be that guy, because Colt is getting so many girls, and it's
Ryan, is he getting those girls? Is he really getting those girls? I think not. Look at him. Did you see him in the bikini?
Oh.
That's all I think about, yeah. I was one of the people, I don't know if your listeners probably did this. My listeners have sent me his, you know, his junk pic.
Oh, yeah.
No, I wish they would. Darn it.
Have you ever seen, like, a bruised baby yam?
Oh,
it literally it's I don't know, it's like it's like a car accident. I just couldn't look away. Oh. And, like, the fact that he was so willing to, like, you know, we find out in this week's episode, send it to 10 girls that reach out to her. That's why 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After is so good, just because of moments like that.
Well, I will say that even though Colt is pretty much disgusting, when him and Debbie are on camera, Mama Deb, it's fantastic.
Well, because they're truly in love with each other. We'll know. By the way, I feel like this is like a lead up to, like, some kind of romantic comedy that we saw on, like, sitcoms all our lives. This is like Sam and Diane from Cheers. That's an old reference, but it's like, you know, when it's like, will they or won't they? When are they going to get together? I know they're mom and son, but at some point, that's where this is headed, you know?
So weird.
And the way he talks, you know, when he moves his eyebrows up and down, he does it with Deb, too. It's like, oh, stop it.
And, well, he thinks he's being debonair. He's like, you look so beautiful today. Yeah. Like, it's so, he thinks he's Don Juan, and it's, like, so bizarre to me. Let me give you, like, this is, like, a fun, you know, that service Cameo, right?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
So they give a lot of example videos on Cameo of all the people of, like, what you might get, like, of their past Cameo videos. I once with my friend went on, we had a couple drinks, and then we spent, like, an hour watching Colt videos of what he recorded for other people. And he would have his glasses, and he'd be like, in my car, he'd be like, hello, how is quarantine for you? Randy says you're a huge fan of mine. And then he'd be like, well, thank you. You know, and it was, like, so cringe. And his mom has one, too. But with his mom, guys, word of the wise, if you get a Cameo, get his mom, because he usually makes appearances in his mom's Cameo, because I think he knows how to work the camera. But, like, you can get two for one if you get his mom instead of Colt.
I don't think we'll be getting a Cameo from Deb anytime soon, but
what about...
Does Deb hate you guys?
We have no relationship.
Deb loves us.
Okay.
No, we don't.
I do know that Deb sometimes is, like, paid attention to things and, like, has, like, made it known that she doesn't like such and such, so I didn't know if you guys had a war with Deb or something.
No, not yet. Not like your war with Jax. We don't have a war with Deb.
No, but, like, Colt, it's just fascinating. I'm telling you, you can get a free night of entertainment. I know they have 90 Day Fiancé on almost every day now, but if you want an extra episode, just go to Cameo and like I got an Asuelu cameo for my 50th episode, and it was like, all right, congratulations for your 50th episode. And he did a dance, and he was like, so, it was like really well worth it.
Well worth it.
I can't get over his mom.
Yeah, well, how much is Asuelu these days on Cameo?
Asuelu is only $30. That's
doable. But what about OnlyFans? Does Colty have an OnlyFans page?
He must.
Well, I mean, he's close. I mean, Sonia Morgan has one, so. Sonia Morgan has an OnlyFans, and Dorinda has an OnlyFans.
Did you get in on Sonia's free? Remember, there was that moment where you could get in free for like a week or something.
No, because I stay away from OnlyFans entirely. I don't want them to ever have my information. And that's no offense to sex workers. I'm pro sex worker and all that. And not to say Sonia is a pro, but like, OnlyFans is where I draw the line. It's like Big Brother. It's like, where do I stop then, you know?
Well, what are those women doing on OnlyFans? I want to know, what is Dorinda and what is Sonia doing?
I'm trying to talk Gina into
it. She wants me to sign up.
Because I'm afraid I'm going
to
get all these porn sites.
I hate to tell you, but it's hardcore content. They film themselves having sex.
No.
No, I'm joking. It's literally just like shots. Like,
sign me up.
It's just shots of like, Dorinda like just like posing and like doing like Q&As. It's like anything else. It's just that they went over to OnlyFans as their, like, I think they probably got paid a little extra to go over there.
Yeah.
Do these women even know what OnlyFans is really intended for? I mean, geez.
I think it's changed. It's like, I mean, it's just more than just Instagram, paid Instagram porn? At this point.
Well, on this week's podcast, I go over the top 10 Cameo earners on Cameo, and Sonia Morgan is in the top 10. She's number 10 of all of Cameo. She made like $125,000 in the last couple of months.
Wow. Right?
My God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah.
That is crazy.
She'll be able to get that new rug for their place like she's been wanting.
What was her Instagram where was she promoting a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, that's vacuuming. The other thing. If you want a good product, Sonia will pretty much, she'll do anything for you. She'll promote anything. I feel like if you got the money, she's got the Instagram for you. She really appreciates like a free meal, an ad. Like, you know, that's why my favorite thing about Sonia is just watching her eat in the background of scenes.
Oh, so fantastic. This season in particular.
Oh, and also the cameramen, the camera guys and the editors that always will like cut to her eating by herself at a buffet is amazing.
And just having her sit on the bed in the background and commenting about other things happening.
She's
gold.
Amazing. Are you shocked that Dorinda got the boot?
I am and I'm not. I mean, I'm sad a little bit because I think she is so beloved as a character. But I think if you watch this season, you saw what a difficult time she was having. And she really just said some really, everybody says ruthless things, but it just seemed like next level for her this season. And of course I would love a redemption season, but it never looked like she was actually listening or getting the point. Like Luann even was trying to explain to her towards the end of the season, as everybody was, and she just was like talking over her, and according to her social media, even after these episodes were airing, she still felt the same way. And I'm like, you know, I feel that's like sad. It's like, you know, maybe she does need some time to really like reflect and readjust, and hopefully the door is open. But she, you know, I do understand why she left or was forced out, you know?
And who knew that Luann would be the voice of reason this season, really? I mean, come on.
I gotta say, she did, you know, as scary as when I saw the season trailer, when I saw her drinking for the first time, I was really scared. But I still gotta say, she had a really good overall season. In comparison to previous seasons.
Yeah, and yeah. I think we were saying that last week was the first time when she was singing at Dorinda's party that I actually felt like she was tipsy. Whereas, the other times, you know, even if she was drinking, I'm like, God, that girl can hold it together. These ladies are our age. They snap back like no other. Me and Gina have like two glasses of wine, and the next day we're like, oh my God, what do we do?
Well, yeah, everybody jokes that are like, oh, do you drink when you do the podcast? And I'm like, when I first started, I did. And then I was like, there's no way, because the amount of editing and the amount of talk, like you pointed that out. That's exactly what it was. Luann was like straight up slurring during her speech at Dorinda's birthday party. Not a lot of people commented on that, actually, but that is totally right. She was really like, we're women and we stick by each other. And it was just a little more than we've seen her all season.
Yeah.
But still not horrible.
But still not that bad. I was quite impressed with her all season. And we know you're a Leah fan, so.
I mean, yeah, well, that's, I'd appreciate if you called my future wife Mrs. McSweeney when you talked. No, I mean, yeah, no, I love Leah. It's really, you know, it's so sad. Somebody posted a video, or they posted a video. Leah and Tinsley are on vacation together.
Yeah.
And they
doing
were dancing to the Cardi B song WAP or whatever you say. And that's when you know, you're like, oh my God, is this what I'm going to be remembered for if I ever pass away? Because like 100, like over 100 people either messaged me or tagged me in those videos. And I'm like, that's really embarrassing, because at this point, Leah must think I'm like a weird stalker, because people will just tag me in all of her posts, and I don't know. It's gotten weird at this point.
What do you think? Would you be happy if her sister joined the cast?
Yeah, I totally would, actually. Her sister, actually, she seems like she's ready. Like, Dorinda with that post, Sonia with that post yesterday, she kind of shaded the girls, saying like, oh, you know, Tinsley got the fairy tale and I'm vacuuming. She kind of shaded it a little bit. Yeah. And Leah's sister immediately jumped in and was like, what the F is this? What are you doing? Is this shade? And I'm like, she's ready to go. And like, I think we haven't seen that in a bit since maybe the Richard sisters on Beverly Hills. So I think that would be an exciting thing. And especially it would give it, you know, we've talked a lot about this season where the age range is so skewed that it's making it the Leah show almost. We're kind of watching these ladies through her eyes this season, and they need to even it out a bit. We need to get, you know, because it's Tinsley and Bethany were supposed to still be there, you know?
Right. Yeah. So there's rumors that another one of the OG housewives in New York are going to get the boot or get demoted. Do you think, who do you think that would be? Do you think Ramona would actually get demoted?
Well, that was it. But I got to think, if you're thinking strategically, as much as I would like to see Ramona go, just because I just need her to be taken down like several notches, I don't know if it's the smartest move to move her, because strategically she has a battle with Leah. Like, they seem to be going at it. You know, she is ridiculous in a whole nother way. I think she's actually weirdly safe. I think the people you have to look out for, you know, I don't know. I personally don't think they're going to fire somebody else, but if they did, you're looking at then Luann or Sonia. And I just think Luann, that would also be a heartbreaking move for Luann above all. I think she really wants it. But you know, it's so funny. I did a Zoom call with Luann last week with a couple other people, and she answered a bunch of questions, and she was even saying, she goes, you know, how can you be friends with Ramona? And she's like, I'm paid to be friends with Ramona. They are friends, but also they're friends because they also need to be friends. This is part of their paycheck, you know? And, you know, some of them have been friends, you know, in their real lives, but now it's a livelihood thing too, you know?
I also think Luann needs the show.
Yeah.
Not just the cabaret. She needs the show for the cabaret.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, like, when Sonia was going to, you know, when the whole thing of, like, Sonia, like, Luann was like, it's me, my name's up there. I'm like, I'll pay double if Sonia's there. I've seen her live two times.
You said the same thing. We saw her live once in San Francisco.
Magical.
It was a hot fucking mess, and it was the best thing we've ever seen. Yeah, we would have loved to see Sonia on there. We would have screamed. I mean, we were laughing that we were screaming like we were seeing Elvis. It was embarrassing.
Oh. Well, I was in I saw her two times in Los Angeles. The first time was like a small actual cabaret club like years ago, and it was like wild. But then the second one was at the Wiltern, which is a humongous venue, and she sold it out, which is shocking. And then, but the funny thing was that it's just an excuse for all of us to get together with all of our friends,
exactly,
meet new Bravo friends. I mean, she was like, people were legitimately having full conversations during her singing, like everybody,
yeah,
not even
absolutely,
just like whispering. They're like, what's up, Ted? How are you? Like, nobody was even listening to the music at all.
No, it was about the experience. It was so, we were like with our people. Yeah. Nobody really gave a shit about Luann.
I think so. I think she needs Sonia. I think it would behoove her when she goes back on the road after this to hit it really hard and get with Sonia. So, you know, you really hit it over the head how much this is needed.
Okay, so dream show would be Constantine, Sonia, and Countess Luann.
Oh, my God. Constantine needs to be on OnlyFans, obviously. he dated everyone. And I was like, Constantine Morales needs to stay away from Leah. Like, that guy is, like, it's frustrating. He's like the he's the East Coast Ryan Cabrera. Ryan Cabrera was in all those like Hills shows.
And Ryan Cabrera, same, not very good looking. Same with Constantine. When he was younger and
all
on
hair.
It's all hair. It's all agreed. And now Constantine's hair, a little
not
thinning.
So good.
You know what it looks like? The tennis player.
Andre Agassi
hair. Yeah, he's got Andre Agassi hair. Well, before Andre Agassi shaved the hair. And before he started wearing the wig.
Yeah, like they're those guys both. Like I'm saying, if you held Constantine down and shaved his hair, which I would do if he was ever with Leah, look at that face without that hair.
Oh, no, I've done it.
Tell me you'd be yeah.
Not good. I don't get it.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's talk a little Love After Lockup, because not a lot of people who watch Bravo watch Love After Lockup. I think more people during this quarantine have picked it up. This is a show me and Gina have watched from the beginning. It's such a shit show. It's one of our favorite
shit shows.
Real low reality TV shows. It's low. It's very low, but we love it.
Well, if you want to, if you want, like, it makes 90 Day Fiancé looks like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Agreed.
Like, it makes 90 Day Fiancé look fancy, you know?
Oh, yeah. And we learn so much. Yeah. We're, like, constantly talking about stuff we don't know, which is always fun for us.
No. It's, like, Below Deck where I'm like, I could dock that ship. Yeah. Like,
yeah, what's the
big
deal?
Bring up the line. Like, I think I know things now of, like, that's a tight slip. We got to really get the crew everywhere.
You know how many notches it takes to send that anchor down. Four notches. Yeah. And then I never could. That's the other thing. They say four notches and it's going down like ching, 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 ching. I'm like,
what does that
mean?
That
sounds like 25 notches to me. What the hell is a notch?
Well, I think I could be a captain, because all Captain Sandy does, it seems like she sticks her head out the window to see if she's parking it right. And then she just watches over everybody in the kitchen and like the food. Like, I mean, it's like. Other than that, I'm like, I could totally be a captain.
Totally. I think you could. She's totally obnoxious this season. Oh, she moves the little lever back and forth, too.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yes.
We can do that.
What's the big fucking deal? Okay, Love After Lockup. So we've got Maurice and Jessica. They are the two that he is from L.A. He lives in Compton. He's going to flee to Las Vegas, Nevada. He wants to get out of Compton. He wants to go home to her house that's now their house.
I got to see my crib.
And last week, they stopped at the border, and I thought, they're not going. Give me a break. They're not going to go across the border. They're on a TV show.
Yeah.
He's going to get caught. Oh, my God. They drove across the fucking border.
Yeah, they're in Vegas.
They went to Vegas.
I feel like that was crazy watching. Like, I mean, I know they're doing a show, but at the same time, it's like, also, there's a three-person camera crew. I would not want to be getting out near the sign just in case cops just pulled over just to check what's going on.
Well, he also pissed at the sign. He pissed on California
because California did him wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong.
It was California.
I understand that. California's done me wrong a lot of times, but I understand that emotionally, but also, like, I get it. Like, he's going to a house where he's like, you know, the carpet's tight, the walls are tight, this fridge is snacked up, kneaded up.
Let's rephrase that. There is carpet. There are walls. This is what he's excited about.
It was really like, he was like, but he even said, he's like, I'm trying not to act like a kid. I'm so giddy, you know?
Well, look where he came from.
My God,
he's
been in prison for like 17 years or something, right?
17 years. Yeah, but he was staying with his cousin, Roni, and we saw what that place was like. So this is like living large for him.
Next week, he goes to meet her parents. So
the dad's like, I need to talk to you for a second.
They show them driving down the street, and they act like he's going, look at this. Like he's casing the joint to rob it. You know, like, come on.
It is weird how they do. I mean, it is funny. Well, not funny, but it's weird how they paint every character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I fall for it every time, by the way. Even though we know half of this is bullshit and fake. This is a great one. Destiny, who's 28, and Sean, who's the creepy 40-something-year-old who has six kids.
Yeah, he's creepy, but he's creepy, but, like, I'm sorry. I'm over Destiny. I'm over her. Her thing, and she can get her own way, like, give me $3,500. I'm also like, I know he cashed in his 401k, but he's a mechanic. How does a mechanic have a 401k? And I don't understand, like, I mean, I'm just like, I need to know this is fake just for my own health, because if not, I'm like, this Destiny is not, like, I know Sean, like, he's creepy, but she doesn't deserve this. You know how lucky she is to have all of this stuff, and then she's trying to hit on a Pier 1 salesman?
That was a consignment store,
well,
I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I don't think so. When
you don't think so?
Went?
Did you see the furniture that was in there? It was kind of beat up.
No. She was asking for, no, he said he would give her $1,500 a month, and...
No, $1,500 for the shopping spree, and she wanted 5 to 10. fight to Jen Grant.
And she feels like she deserves it, which is kind of impressive, I'm going to say. Why not shoot for the hills?
She's
if you're
confident.
Fucking destiny. I'm out of prison. This guy wants me. It looks like he has money. Why not ask for $10,000?
I like when she was like, oh, my God, Vegas, I partied so hard. This town is insane. And what we saw her doing was like in front of a penny slot machine drinking yes. strong drinks.
And yeah. eating yeah. a hot dog.
Free drinks, eating hot dogs, and he's whipping out ones and fives to give to her.
Yeah.
Quaylen and Chevelle. This is the kid that was 17 when he went in prison. He's
but I like Shovel. I mean, I like, yes. I mean, sorry, Chevelle. I like Shovel. I like both of them. I like them so much that I kind of find them not even interesting because I find it like a real story.
I agree.
Let me tell you, I went on a deep dive
Ooh,
in Quaylen's Instagram.
Uh-oh.
He's pretty rough. I have
Is
to
he?
Tell you. He's
the glasses,
pretty
though,
rough.
The glasses make him seem more innocent.
Well, he's a rapper. Did you know that? He's a rapper now.
Gina, being a rapper doesn't make you rough.
No.
Yeah, God, I mean, that's
not. How old are you?
It's not because he's a rapper. Trust me, he's a little rough. Go check out his Instagram.
All right, I will. How do you spell it?
But at the end of this episode, Shovel bought him a truck.
She did, and her cousin was not so happy about that.
No.
$5,000 truck, though. What kind, I would like to know where you're
well,
getting.
Well, but it looked nice on the outside.
It
did. And it's so funny. When I looked at the price, I was like, that's a steal.
It has 155,000 miles
I have
on it.
I have a car that looks really great on the outside, too. Would you like to purchase it? Okay, Lindsay and Scott. This one, I'm grossed out by, first of all.
I need to see this. Ew. I need to see this, like, to fruition.
Agreed. But did you see the previews for next week?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Oh, no, she's out. I think she's high as a kite, and she's yelling at him to don't touch me.
No.
Yeah,
does he say
I watched
any, does
it
she
twice.
Say anything about his big lip?
Did you hear him say that that's a reaction to something?
Yes,
he's so full of shit. How long is his
reaction?
You know
what I love? I love that when he gets on the phone with anybody or when he talks to her mom or her daughter, he acts like all like, I'm in charge. I know what's going on. Like, this is the first time in life when he's actually, because I think life is like probably everybody's made fun of him his whole life. So now he is able to act like the guy that like, I will take care of everything.
Of course.
I will be like a total savior complex and loves to do scenes without his shirt on a lot of the times because he really loves his build.
I'm going to have to say, though, I wasn't that grossed out by the shirtlessness. He's gross. I thought it would be worse.
Give it time, yeah.
I thought it would be worse. Also, me and Gina were talking about are they getting thrown in the hole or they getting thrown. What was the other word we used? I can't remember. Anyway, they call it the shoe. So the shoe is the hole, which is also what?
Like
solitary confinement?
We don't know. We don't know this stuff.
Well, by the way, there was one scene in this week's episode that literally to me was like her makeup tutorial.
Oh,
it was a
big,
tiny interstitial in between. It was like a minute. Like she's like, yeah, you know, like, you know, looking good is feeling good. And like immediately. And I was like, this is fascinating. You can take something to like magazine and it'll like the color of the magazine artwork will actually do makeup.
Yeah.
I was like, I need more of this. This is amazing.
What about the tattoos they do in prison? How the fuck are they doing the tattoos? I don't get it.
Well, have you ever seen that Netflix docu-series Jailbirds?
Yes, it's in Sacramento.
Oh my God, when they were like, they flushed the notes called kites through the toilet system.
That was amazing.
They can do anything in there. Like, that's what I'm like, it's truly impressive.
Have you ever watched 60 Days In?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the stuff they do in there. It's quite impressive. Okay, so we met a new one, Dylan and Heather. I kind of believe it because they met each other outside of prison.
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Yeah. She's changed quite a bit since he's been in there.
But I like how they met. That she was at a party and he was showering and she went in and she was like, wow. And I'm like, that's just amazing. And also they're both at the time when they met, they looked both very modelly and very.
Yeah.
He showed so many pictures of him where it started to not even look like him in certain pictures.
No, I agree. Like they're model, the real model pictures. They're like, remember that guy that got out of prison and he has been picked up by the modeling agency?
Jeremy Meeks. Yeah. The hot felon.
And doesn't he have a teardrop right here?
Yeah.
The hot felon. And didn't he marry that
No, they broke up.
Oh, they broke up.
Yeah, but it was a billionaire heiress. And yeah. I'm like, oh my God. It looks her everything in this world.
Christiana and John.
Oh, this couple.
He picks her up at the halfway house. They meet up with her mom.
Yeah, she's like, were you impressed with him? And she's like, not really.
I wonder why. Was it the fringe hanging off his every shirt he owns?
How well, long? You know it's a good couple when they have his and her vapes.
Oh.
Okay, explain a vape to me. I have this question
so
constantly.
So vapes are those, like, smoking instruments so they can smoke nicotine.
Right.
But, like, they have the fancy ones. It's, like, a whole cartridge in your hand. And it's, like, very bad. And she had this, like, a same one. So I figure when she got out, he gave her one.
Can't you sometimes put pot in vapes?
Yeah, of course. I mean, but those, I mean, the ones there looks like nicotine vapes.
Oh, okay.
We clearly don't vape.
No. We're asking you what is. All right. I want to talk a little bit about The Other Way. We 90 Day Fiance, The Other Way. What do you think of Jenny and Sumeet? What do you think of this whole thing? We finally see Sumeet's parents. I don't know if we ever saw them before,
no.
But we actually got to hear them speak about the relationship.
Well, I think this
Jenny.
Week wasn't it interesting to find out that she lived with them years prior, and that she lived on the third floor, and they would come up and have dirty time together,
yes.
And I would be like, oh, first off, what a hot couple to imagine those things to happen. Like it's like really a weird. I love that they love each other so much, but it's just fascinating. Like the whole thing is. The Other Way is, it's like, Happily Ever After is, like, completely bizarre and funny, and The Other Way, to me, is, like, not tragic, but, like, just, like, a different vibe entirely, where it's, like, whoa, like, this is, like, the real deal, for better or worse.
But kind of tragic.
Yes, tragic is a huge, that's it exactly. Like, there's a tragicness that Happily Ever After is, like, I hate to say that Colt's penis pictures are light and fun, but it is like funnier than The Other Way, you know?
Well, some of these feel a little more permanent. Like Jenny, I feel like really wants to live there with Sumeet. Like,
well,
she loves
been
him.
Together.
They have a soul connection.
They really do. Whether you think he's, you know, kind of a douche or not for
well,
never telling
she went there
her.
In 2014. So this has been going on for a long time. And his parents said she was supposed to stay a few days or a week and ended up staying 4 months.
Yeah, but here's what I'm thinking. The mother said she liked Jenny. They became friends. They were the same age. So she's thinking, oh my God, look at this American woman comes over to our country. It's like an exchange thing. She's having dinners with us, meals with us. I really enjoy her company. Then all of a sudden you find out your son is going up and having
but the whole time.
Time
she's preying on your son.
Yeah. So I can see where they've totally switched, like, screw you, old lady. I don't want you married. And they want grandchildren. Sorry, Jenny.
Well, and they were good friends.
Angela, it's not going to happen.
Right.
No.
I liked that earlier in the season, though, he was like, took her to his friends to like, see, divorces here take 20 years. You know, like, it was like.
Like, it's never going to happen. Okay, so the Jehoon and Devin thing, this is always interesting because in real time, we know that they're already split up. So to see it kind of crumbling on screen, this is a year ago, this is all filmed. When the mom was leaving and he's like, I'm going to miss you. I'm thinking, oh, hell no, Jehoon. You can't wait to push her out. You're ready for her to get out of this
house.
Can
we know if Jehoon has like moved on?
I don't know, but I think we find out that Jehoon cheated.
And that,
yeah, kind of sounds like it.
He's so lazy.
He's so lazy.
But also, I hope we can all agree, everybody listening, that Drusilla is a monster. And,
Drusilla is a monster. Did you see how red her face was when the mom's leaving? She's like, say goodbye. Drusilla's like, bye, Grandma.
Like, did you see when she, like, when they were having tea and she's like, Jehoon's with both the kids and it shot to the kid and Drusilla's just hitting
him?
We don't like to talk about children, but
we don't like to talk about children, but we talk about Drusilla.
No, I mean, I'm doing it in a joking way. Like, it's a beautiful family, but it is funny to think about, like, in the sense of, like, Jehoon just got in trouble for not running after her or, like, you know, for stopping to be, like, and then the mom just, like, chewed him out so hard.
Well, they're both children. I mean, he may be 30, and Devin clearly doesn't make very good choices, life choices, and Jehoon is just an idiot.
I like Jehoon, though.
I'm happy that they're done. Like, that's the thing, is that I think we all know how hard relationships can be. So when we see that show especially, it really reminds us again how hard relationships are. And you're like, oh my God, this reminds me of my own pain in certain ways, and I need to stop watching. Like, that's why I couldn't do a 2-hour The Other Way. I like it at an hour.
Even the 2-hour on the other one is too much. But I do feel bad for the baby. Like, what's going to happen? you know,
he's never going to see that
he's
child.
He's never going to see him.
Yeah.
I just don't
know.
No, see
I mean, because Jehoon at his core is the lazy person that he is portrayed as.
Right.
So he will not probably see that baby. And that's probably better for the baby in the long run.
Probably.
But I feel bad for the
parents. Sorry, Jehoon. Sorry, Jehoon.
I am angry even talking about Binyam and Ariel. She's a 12-year-old child. You know, now that mommy's gone, she doesn't know what she's going to do. And poor Binyam, he's like, you can go. And I'm thinking, go. Freaking go. I don't like her. I'm so angry at her.
Yeah.
Here, and he just sees as like, okay. Like, he's just kind of like, yes, okay. Like, he really, I would be freaking out if somebody, like, their mom left and, you know, she literally said, I need to go. I need to go. This is horrible. Like, I need to go. I would be like, go then. Like, I would, like, I would freak out. And he was like, no, don't. And she's like, okay.
I mean, what is she thinking, though? She goes over there. She's been there before. She knows that they don't have flushing toilets and hot water. So why is this such a surprise to her? I don't get it.
Well, also, like, any of these shows, I just find it weird, whether it be Love After Lockup or 90 Day Fiancé, I find that all of these people, I'm like, it can't just be the looks thing, because you could get somebody of similar looks in the U.S. You could get somebody, like, it boggles my mind that we're outsourcing these romantic jobs, you know, like.
That's a great way of putting it.
Again, though, she's having a child with him. That's what's sad.
It's sad.
And with the
and
previews.
And the mom came over and was like, yes, let's check out the doctor. You know, like,
that's
exactly
moms,
like my mom.
But they completely enable her. Those parents, she's been going to be taken care of for the rest of her life by her parents. It doesn't matter who she's married to. They will take care of her. Because they're worried about her, and rightfully so. She's got.
Because she can't take care of herself.
She doesn't get the whole money thing. I have no friends here. No shit, you have no friends there. I mean, why is this a surprise to you? It's
and
so
by the way, we've met her now. She will never have friends there. I mean,
exactly.
She doesn't seem like a fun person. Like,
not at all.
She's awful. Now, next week, or whenever it is, she has the baby there. And the parents come over. I didn't think she had the baby there.
See, we don't think that she's attracted to Binyam anymore. I think he cut his hair.
Oh, I think she's done. I think she saw some of those toilets and was like, I'm done. And I mean, I get it. Like, I remember, like, my parents dropping me off at camp when I was a boy, and I was like, I want to go home. Like,
okay, I'm so over Tim and Melissa. She hates him.
She's a bitch.
She hates Tim.
She's
I don't know why
bitch.
Tim's there. I think they signed up for the show before he cheated, before all this happened, and they just had to see it.
Yeah, it's sad. It's like watching him go through this, having to tell the parents. Like, she doesn't even crack a smile in any scene usually. I feel like the next level of these shows is us being able to vote if they stay or go. Like,
that would be amazing.
I don't need to see this. Like, he obviously made a huge mistake. He seems like he wants to make up for it, but I think sometimes things just are done and you need to move on, and he needs to move on. He just does. He made a mistake.
I think that there's too many couples. I don't like that there's too many couples.
Well, and too many couples not doing anything. And I love Armando and Kenny. They are friends of the show. But Jesus, can we see you meet the fucking parents already? My God. One episode, they're walking to the car.
Yeah. Not enough.
He knows exactly what they're doing to, like, draw out something. Yeah. Like, the scenes with a lot of these people are, you know, seems like it's like a 20-minute scene, and we can see it over the course of one season. They did that a lot with Darcy, I think, last season in one of the iterations of this, where it's just like, man, I get that they're a star, but, like, really, you got to make sure you take care of the viewer somewhat. And I feel like sometimes they really don't, they abuse that sometimes.
Well, they're milking the heck out of this whole 90-day fiancé
franchise.
But
do you think it's worse because we're in this time of quarantine and COVID and stuff?
Of course. But by the way, them I love as a couple. Like, I believe in them as a couple.
Yeah.
It makes me believe in love.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that, like, I love their love, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe they're together and in California. I don't think they're in, or not
good.
California. Not, maybe not California. Where did he?
Mexico.
No, I don't think they're in Mexico. I think he's here.
Well, he's in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Kenny's all in Florida.
I think they're all in Florida, maybe. I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe. Yasin and Brittany.
I think this is a fake relationship. I didn't buy it from the beginning. What do you think, Ryan?
You think this is fake?
I don't. I totally disagree. I've seen her look at him more lovingly. I think she really, this episode in particular, he was very upset she was leaving. What I don't believe is that she's still married and all this other crap that she never told him and all of
that. That's what I love. The show also does this, is that it's already wacky enough, but then they'll always be like, but what he doesn't know is I have a whole entire family back home. You know, like, it's always something so bizarre where you're like, oh my God, it's just weird enough already that you're in a relationship. I don't need this whole other subplot of you not telling him about a whole nother marriage. But yeah, like, I didn't think it was fake, but I definitely don't think it's right. Like, I get scared sometimes. Like, I get scared the way she deservedly sometimes pops off, but sometimes I get scared that, like, she's gonna, like, end up dead somewhere. Yeah. Not by him, but, like, it just seems like, it just scares me.
Wait, did you see the scenes for next week where there?
No, I didn't.
It was something like, I don't know if she went back over there or if she was here and they were talking to him and he was all upset and they said, people hate him and they may decide to kill him. So you're right on the money there. Something's going on.
By the way, 90 Day Fiancé hears that and they're like, we'll make a whole series spin-off about this. Like, who will kill Yazan?
Follow up.
But she knows she's not going to convert to Islam. She knows what the culture's like, and they just make it seem like she had no idea. And
well, and I also don't believe she's ever going to move there.
No, absolutely not.
That, like, that
no,
whole thing,
like,
I
you
don't
saw her
believe.
Dad at the beginning of at the course. Airport and stuff like that. It doesn't seem like that's going to be happening.
No, and then I love how this week, she's like, yeah, I'm going back to Chicago for a little bit. It's like, wait, I thought you were moving there for good. What's happening?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, so a few people on 90 Day What Now. What about Elizabeth and Andre? What do you think this whole situation with her whole family's been arrested before, but they're all high and mighty. You know,
like, they're like,
him.
I don't believe Andre and what he's doing here. You know, like, we got to find out the real. If I find out on, like, it's so weird, and like, I don't like Andre anyways, but the whole situation is just weird. And then they try to do a fun scene with, like, stomping wine, and they're like, you're telling me you get wine from stomping on these graves? Are you kidding? Like, it's like a fun scene, which by the way, 90 Day is like the king of that. Is like, you see those couple photos in the beginning and you know it's going to be a good scene or a bad scene depending on if they're
smiling or they're looking away from each other.
Yeah, that we're not buying the whole family.
I think her family is awful, and we heard, you know, there's the stories they're trying to get a spin-off, like Family Chantel, which was just a disaster.
That was awful.
God. And then the Eric and Larissa thing, her getting her new boobs and getting all this new surgery. We know she's had it done, but it was also all sponsored. Eric's not paying for shit. He has a roommate.
Eric's
he doesn't
not
have
paying
any money.
For it.
Eric-y, can I get the boobies and the nosy? Like, I mean, this is exactly, we saw this already with Michael Jackson. Like, this is, it's not going to end well. And also, Larissa, it is funny because you really do see she probably really does, like, it'll never be perfect. Like, that part is real. Yeah. Like, she'll never really achieve true beauty in her mind. But also, the, like, tragedy of it is that she does have family back home that she should be sending money to. That it is, like, you know, you can say whatever of, like, yeah, girl, get it. Do your thing. Is that, like, you also have to remember she has she has kids. Like, yeah. I think plural.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's when it gets to be, like, not as funny. Like, it's, like, yeah. It's weird. Like, and also, how is she still in the country? I do not get how you can have that many. I've had zero cops called on me, and I think people have wanted to get me out of the country for a while.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole immigration thing either.
I listened to, there's this podcast called The Fraudcast who
goes
into this. One of the guys, he said that it's actually really hard to get somebody out of the country.
To get totally deported?
Yeah, to get totally deported. If you've been married here, that doesn't totally surprise me that she's still there. But the fact that she thinks that every time she's getting pulled over, she's going to get arrested and sent back, that's entirely
not
true.
Yeah, that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah. This Paul and Carini situation is also really hard to watch. Because we know that in real life they're going through all these tragic things. And
But I just saw that he posted on Instagram that he was eating McDonald's in Brazil. So he's in Brazil.
Yeah. Well, so he's saying he came back to Brazil to clean up his apartment that they lived in.
He had to fly to Brazil to do that?
And people are questioning, why are you doing that? And that he's looking for Carini because he thinks she's already left and gone back there. So she's really in hiding. Like,
so
she's
this
hiding
is probably going to be part of the show.
He could just be a huge fan of McDonald's too. Like, he might just want to get there. You know, they might have really good McDonald's over there. But yeah, it is tragic because, and when it gets this serious, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to see this on the show. Like, yeah. I don't know. I sometimes get nervous. I don't know. these shows, like, I mean, maybe that's why they work too, is that the viewer actually has a little bit of nervousness of like, I know what I can expect from the housewives usually, but I don't know what I can expect from normal people who thought they could get love overseas. You know, like, yeah. That's a different thing. Like, David and Lana from last year, like, this guy, like, went every, I mean, it's so weird.
It's and very plus, strange. Paul is not well. Can we all agree?
Paul is not well. Agreed. Either is Angela and Michael, because I'm over their story. I can't stand how we just keep going back and forth. Angela's going to leave. She's done. This whole
I'm done, Michael.
Always.
Pack it up. Done. Then leave already, Angela. Leave. At this point, Michael can do... I'm sorry. At this point, Michael can do better here or the U.S. I mean, like, the fact that she's like, that's a wrap, Mike. That's a wrap. And also, one of the weirdest scenes I've seen, and I know it's potentially partially fake, was they just had some poor girl just slowly shake her butt and then have a camera guy and then have Michael just glance at it. And then they kept shooting back to it, and it was just like a slow shake. And it was so bizarre. And
that was bizarre.
That's it, Michael. Done. Why did you go there to begin with?
Yeah, why even go to a strip club? Well, she didn't know it was a strip club, apparently. Then they stay, and then she's grinding on Michael and trying to do the booty on him. And I'm like, oh, God, this is just too much. I can't take it
anymore.
What
she said last week, she's like, he done not have sex with me but once or something like that.
I know. Like, what's up with that? They've only had sex one time? Is that shocking?
I can see it.
I don't want to think about it. This is something I don't want to talk about.
I love last season when he was like, they got into a fight and she brought her a cake. She's like, no, cake ain't going to work this time, Michael.
This time.
A cake will solve anything with Angela.
Kalani and Asuelo, his family is just
give me money. Shit. I want money. Give me money.
I heard that somebody from her family said the whole thing was staged, which I believe that.
Oh,
but
my God. Thank God.
Why would you do that?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to hear that, because this one actually has stuck with me of just feeling so badly for Asuelu. But then Asuelu, like, I love last week, she came and she goes, if your sister puts her hands on me, I will drop her. And he goes, no, my sister drop you. Like, and then, like, it becomes like a, like, you don't
who can beat up who?
Yeah, she's like, I could knock you out. He goes, no, I could knock you out. Like, it's so, and
who's
it's like,
tougher?
He's a child. He is a child.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're okay, right?
Yeah, they're still together.
Fine,
I've seen them.
I felt her emotion.
Real emotions, yeah. She's crying in multiple episodes, and I come from an acting background, and those are like, usually you can't do that well. Like, that's...
Yeah,
that's
they're really, good.
That seems really real to me. So if that's fake, I'm relieved, but I'm shocked.
Yeah, I think they're fine and they're together now. Once again, once kids are involved, I don't like it. Let's go to Bravo for a minute. I want to pick your brain. What do you think of this whole Below Deck this season? Are you happy that Tom is the new chef?
No, I hate Tom.
You do?
I hate Tom. I think Malia needs to stay away. I don't need their little flirties in the kitchen. I am a Kiko fan through and through. I do not care. Like, I'm so sorry if everybody doesn't like the Vegas nachos. But Kiko, I'd rather somebody that puts all their heart in. I don't need Captain Sandy micromanaging everything. And I mean, I'm not even a fan of Hannah, but I was disgusted with how all that went down.
Yeah.
And I think it just shows, even when, you know, it's like, even if you have, like, also, I'm tired of hearing about maritime law, also, like, Malia, you know, whether anybody wants to accept it or not, she chose to do that information when she did it.
Yeah.
It was backhanded, and she knows it. Yes, maritime law does say exactly what she's saying it says, but she knows what she did. She knows things can be overlooked. I hear she's a partier herself, probably not on the boat, but, like, come on. Like, she did it. She knew exactly what she was doing. But at the same time, I don't understand people like, I will not watch that show anymore because of that. The show is still amazing.
I know. Like, I don't get that. No matter what, we're going to watch it. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a difference on Tom, because I find him highly attractive. When he is cooking and he smiles, take Malia out of it. I also think they're broken up. She has wiped clean of her Instagram.
I've heard the same thing, that they have broken up. But by the way, if you like Tom, you kind of like Prince Andrew, because he's a skinnier Prince Andrew.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that a little bit.
Tom is so doofy, and I'm sorry if any of your husbands have like blonde hair, but like I was told this week by a lady that you got to worry about blonde-haired guys. Nope. They're not no psychotically.
Blonde. Is right. he blonde? Yeah, we don't. We're not married no. to blonde-haired guys. I'm not like attracted to blonde hair. I don't right. think he has blonde hair. Does he?
I can't believe Sandy. You're attracted to Tom. It's He's such a doof.
It's the accent.
He's such a doof.
But I like food. I like the accent. He is a little highly. Well, he's they're very all, emotional, but all
they're
chefs
all
are.
Intense like they that. Are. Now yeah. Kiko got a bad rap. I think he got screwed over because yeah. Sandy was all over him and micromanaging the hell out of him.
Well, this last episode, Sandy, oh, I can't stand her. She's running yeah. up there. Is the food okay? Johnny yeah. Damon, is the food okay?
Is it warm? Is it hot? Warm? Is it and hot? Then she takes it down, and Johnny's like, just wasted. He's like, oh, this is hot. This is hot.
yeah,
like,
totally.
It's like, Sandy, give it a second. Like, you can't be on top of everybody. That is not management. That's not leadership. I liked Sandy up until a couple episodes ago for the most
Same.
Part. And I find, but at the same time, like I love how intense Rob is. Like, bro, you can't tell me what
oh
to
my
do.
God.
Bro. You know,
oh,
like,
Rob
bro.
Is like a corpse.
Oh my God.
Corpse.
What is happening with Rob? He is going through it. Jess. I don't like Jess.
No,
I don't like her.
Yeah, I mean, Jess, I don't know. You know, it's like Jess is another one. It's like, look, sometimes if you're very good looking in a certain way, you probably had attention your whole life in a certain way, and it's made you not work on certain aspects of your personality. And like she like was talking about like evil Jess this week of like destroying her ex-boyfriend's house, and it's like, I think, you know, sometimes she's probably just gotten away with a lot of things because yeah. of how she looks, and it's not really taught her how to. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but it seems like there's something a lot more there. And I think it might have to do with how she looks.
Probably.
I don't know. She's horrible at her job.
She's terrible.
But by the way, Kiko got a bad rap, but at the same time, Kiko won out in the end because he's the fan favorite, and
sure.
he'll be back in some fashion.
Yeah. Some of his food wasn't
that
was great,
points.
Though.
Yes, there were points made. But also, I do want to say, like, yo, if this is that intensely important, Sandy needs to do a better job hiring, because is there this much turnover on a yacht?
Yeah.
I don't know, super yachts or whatever, but there seems like a lot of turnover, which then leads me to believe that usually comes from up top, which is the captain. And she does not, if you're really going through that many people, either the show's completely fake or you're not good at your job.
Well, if you compare Sandy to Captain Lee, completely different. Lee stays up in the wheelhouse wherever he is.
In his corner of the room.
And he lets the people do their job. When yeah. there's an issue, he gets involved. But Sandy is fucking in everybody's business all the time. All the time.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Aisha's back. I really like her. Her energy is so high. I think she can be annoying, but I forgot. Remember, she had that romance with that really cute guy last season. And then she told about it. That
Jack.
He just went back to his ex-girlfriend. Didn't even tell her. What an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah. That's kind of bullshit. Okay. So you're new to Potomac.
Yes. New to Potomac.
This season, did you binge on Cast?
I binged all of it. Loving this season. I really do. It's incredible, like everybody says. But yeah, I love it. I mean, Sunday night was insane.
Crazy.
The fight at the lake house was crazy. It gives you everything a housewife show should give you, you know?
Are you happy about Wendy? How do you think Wendy held up against Ashley?
Well, I mean, I think Wendy is so highly qualified in her life that I was wondering last week why she is even on the show, because
that's
I almost
I
feel
said.
Like it's a disservice to her, you know, studies and stuff like that. But then when I saw the fight between Ashley, I was like, oh, that's why she's on the show.
Yeah,
like,
but
there's
a
always
bad
like
look.
A little like there's like a Achilles heel, and it seems like Wendy seems like she likes to put people in her place when she feels, you know, that something doesn't go her way, and that's always fascinating to watch. So I do think, you know, just for somebody that studied and somebody that brilliant, I mean, it's crazy that she wants to be on the show. And I feel like that might be a detriment to her in the long run of being invited back on MSNBC or anything like that.
Completely.
You know?
That's exactly what I said. And I don't know what made her make the decision or how she thought it was going to help her in any way. But I can't see her getting jobs, like serious jobs, after being on Potomac. I just can't.
No, I mean,
who's gonna take her seriously?
I felt for her. I totally got, like, I'd be freaking pissed too. If you're at a girls' weekend and somebody brings their little baby, that would piss me off. And then you have a little baby at home and you weren't told that you could bring your baby.
And the babies are the same age.
Did she lash out a little bit? Of course she did. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
But
she
Ashley kept pumping it, and she didn't need to.
No, she didn't. I like Ashley as a whole. I hate Michael, and this is going to be amazing watching her find out that Michael's been out in the bars or wherever he's been going.
I feel like she knows already. She knows. She has to know. I mean, that there's something so bizarre and weird there. And I said this on my podcast, is that I'm so sorry. Like, I know that, like, I feel like it does a disservice to that baby. I have bad feelings now about that baby because it looks like a mini Michael.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I don't like that baby. And that's, like, horrible, you know?
I felt
the
same way.
I'm nothing, like, and I already don't like the baby, you know?
I agree.
Poor baby. Spitting
it
image.
Would be funny if the baby, if you saw the baby, like, do little grabby hands at, like, a cameraman's butt or something like that.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, there's a reason why Michael wanted her to take that baby to the lake house. Well, we find out.
He never wanted the baby.
And he gaslit her, so he goes, you know, a mother needs to be with the baby for 3 days. You know, like, come on, babe. And then he immediately threw in a compliment. He's like, babe, your butt looks great. You know, it was.
Yeah, but she fell for it. She's like, thanks, hon.
She said, I'm an ass. You're an ass man. And he is an ass man. He said, no, I'm an ass man.
Even though, like, and he was, like, holding the baby so properly, trying to be the best dad in the world in that scene.
He's disgusting.
Like, that scene was rich for me in terms of, like, how men lie, you know?
Yes.
And he turns it on her because she's so into the baby and wanting to be around the baby and only breastfeeding the baby and doing the right things. And he totally used that against her. And she fell for it. Yeah, of course I'm bringing my best friend to watch the baby. Oh, man.
Meanwhile,
so then we have Karen and Wendy. They're going to go out it all season, which will be fantastic. Love that.
Right, yeah.
Karen had the best lines when she was talking about Giselle's fashion.
Really was hysterical. That was so, like, sometimes I'm ashamed to even be out with her.
I mean, Karen, they have the best one-liners in
Potomac.
Oh my God.
Exactly. They know their way around a talking head. And you know how sometimes on Beverly Hills it feels fake with Erica Jane? Like, it feels like they're written for her, and it, like, these feel like they naturally come out of their mouths.
Potomac and Atlanta, they all have that ability to just off the cuff say the most amazing things. Also, Married to Medicine, Atlanta, same thing. Just so good.
Yeah.
So what's your feeling about this whole T'Challa, the whole bird thing? It's driving me crazy.
It's definitely getting a lot of screen time. It's like, you know, I like T'Challa for the most part, but T'Challa is running the risk of being overused at a certain point. I like it. I mean, I thought it was funny that they're all scared of T'Challa, but, like, at this point, I get it. Unless, I always feel like they're setting T'Challa up so much that at some point, does, like, T'Challa kill somebody? Like,
what's going on with T'Challa?
Is, like, does T'Challa have a backstory that we don't know about? Like, I feel like we're about to see T'Challa's parents come into play at some point. I'm like, why are we focusing so much unless this bird has, like, some kind of, like, really big scene in the show?
Well, they started subtitling T'Challa.
Oh, God.
Did you say?
I think it's T'Challa, like, hooks up with one of the ladies, I think. I mean, it has to be. That's the reason why that we must be finding out so much about T'Challa.
I think Monique was like, I'm going to get a lot of screen time with this bird because I don't want to talk about what happened a couple years ago that keeps coming up. Oh, man. Well, Ryan, it's been so fun having you on.
It's been amazing talking to you guys. Thank you so much for even inviting me on. This is really, truly always. This is why I love podcasting, is getting to meet new friends. I hope you guys will consider coming on my podcast, you know, when you can.
Yeah.
I would love to have both of you on. So if you ever would consider that, that'd be amazing. But really, thank you for giving me the opportunity to complain about the shows I love.
Well, we
would love to, because we got to talk about your past in acting, all this kind of stuff going on. Are you going to be doing it again? And your connection to Vanderpump and all that good stuff.
Well, that was crazy. Right before the quarantine hit, I was on an episode of Chicago Med on NBC, and I literally was in Chicago the week all of this happened. I remember the producer coming on set and saying, hey, there was somebody on the soundstage over that just tested positive for COVID. And, like, they had shut down. Like, and I remember flying home to LA, and then a week later, everything was closed down, you know, and it was really bizarre. And I remember getting that part and going, like, I'm back, baby. Hollywood, I'm back. And then Hollywood completely shut down.
It's been so great having you on. Everybody, listen to Ryan Bailey's podcast. Sometimes it could be 50 minutes. Sometimes it could be 5 hours. But it's always good and entertaining. So thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
There is nothing like a dame. Nothing.